Stick around for a while, Matthew. We'll just be 20 minutes. Please.
I really wish I could, but my
mom's okay. All right. Have a good night. Thank you. Yes, you too. Romans chapter 2. I'm sorry, not Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 2. And one verse I want to show you, but I was thinking about, and I think I'm going to do this probably starting next week. I would like to go through, starting in Revelation chapter 1, just the first, at least the first few chapters of the Revelation. Certainly is timely right now with things as strange as they are, but particularly looking at the churches. I'm not going to do that tonight, but be praying about that. I think I may begin that next week. It's really interesting. And tonight I want to be in Romans chapter 2. And let me tell you a story before we start. This is fiction, but let's just say you moved into you were going to move to a new house, and so you pull up in front of the house with your moving truck, your U-Haul or whatever, and the neighbor comes out, and the neighbor greets you, and he says, hey, he says, you know what? He says, let me hire a crew, and I'll just pay them to unload all your furniture, and you don't worry about a thing. We're going to put the furniture in the house for you, and he gets his people to do it, and he pays for them, and then while they're unloading the furniture, the neighbor comes to you, and the neighbor says, hey, you know, you're going to be needing some food, so, you know, I've got these steaks and this food in my house, my freezer and such. I'm just going to give you a whole bunch of food. Don't worry about paying for it. And, oh, by the way, I've got a lawn crew that takes care of my lawn, and I'll just have them do yours as well. And just genuinely trying to be nice to you, wouldn't that be great? So then later on that evening, perhaps you're walking around your front yard and thinking about all the good things your neighbor has done. You look down, you see a wallet on the ground. You pick it up, and it's his, and there's some money in it. You know it's his because you can see his picture on the driver's license, and there's some money in it, and he's obviously lost it and doesn't know where it is. I think the last thing on earth you'd do is steal that money. I mean, in the first place, if I ever found a wallet with money in it and a license, I'm going to give it back to the person that got it. But especially somebody who has gone out of their way to do an incredible things for me that nobody else has ever done. Nobody's ever paid to move me into a house or given me I've gotten some free food, but not that much. And you know, what I'm trying to say is, if someone really goes out of their way to be kind to you, it causes us to have a desire to be kind to them. Amen. Amen? In Romans chapter 2, and I got to just jump around the context because there's a whole lot here more than what we're looking at. We're looking at one phrase. We're looking at the last few words in chapter 2, and look at verse 4. And I'll look at the whole verse in a minute, but look at verse 4. He says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Let's have a word of prayer if we could. Father, tonight, help us to understand this and help us to not just know it, but in as much as you can to understand how this feels, to know your goodness, and help us to know it and realize it in such a way that it would lead us to repentance. And God, I pray you'd give me wisdom as I present this and help me to understand it and to teach it, and I pray folks would receive it and use it in their lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I know, because I'm one of them, that there are some of us that from time to time we worry about things. We worry about having enough money or what's going to happen. And I'm honest with you, I'm not worried about this virus so much. I'm not worried about the virus so much as I am what they're going to do to try to stop it. The government's got me more worried than the virus does. The government and the stalkers at Fry's have got me worried. The manufacturers of toilet paper. No, I'm really not worried about the physical situation. I'm convinced that it's important to try to deal with this, but God's going to get us through it. Amen? Amen. But sometimes in our life, we can be worried about things, can't we? And sometimes in our life, we look at situations and we say, I just don't see how that's going to work out. I don't see how we're going to have enough money, or I don't see how this is going to be taken care of. Or we can be concerned, And when you are living that way, it's very distracting. It keeps you from focusing on what's really important.
Amen.
Now, when you think about what the Bible has to say, the Bible is full of promises. I quote them all the time. In fact, it's kind of been a theme in my ministry throughout the years. For example, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I may have missed a couple of words there, but you know the verse. Or the Bible says, casting our care upon him, for he careth for us. Or, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Or, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Or, the afflictions of the righteous are many, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. We looked at last week in 1 Thessalonians, the God of peace. And so I can't explain it exactly, and I don't really know how to give you the details without taking too much unnecessary time. But in the recent days, I've just been kind of overwhelmed by how good God is. And in real ways. And here's one of the best ways that God is good is when God takes away the worry. Now, it's hard. It can be hard. It shouldn't be hard. But because of our flesh, it's hard to walk by faith. Now, we give Peter a lot of grief for sinking into the water. But at least he got out of the boat. But we say, well, Peter, you should have kept your eyes on the Lord. Yeah, we should too. Well, Peter, you shouldn't have looked at the wind and the waves, which were boisterous. But we do that same thing too. And walking by faith, walking on the water is a great picture of that. Because you can't do that. But he did. And walking by faith means I don't see it, but I trust God for it.
Amen.
Amen? Now, back to my illustration. When you understand that someone is, and especially God is, and I'm going to focus on that in a minute. When you understand that someone is very good to you, it just makes you want to be good to them. And by the way, as Christians, we just ought to want to be good to people.
Amen?
Amen? When you see somebody who's contrary, just be good to them. It drives them crazy. You know, the Bible says that it heaps coals of fires on their head. You've read that verse, right? I like to be good to everybody. And when I see somebody who's being a little obnoxious, and I just like to try to be good to them and see if I can't win them over. And then especially when people are just ordinary people, they don't go one way or the other. You know, they're not mean. They're not nice. They're just ordinary. I just like being good to people. I like to be a blessing to people. And folks, I'm not nearly so good at that as God is. Don't you understand? We sang the song tonight. Jesus loves me.
Amen.
That's astounding. You know, we love our husbands or our wives, and so we're very different toward them. We give them things. We pay attention to their well-being, and we try to be, you know, special to them in a way that nobody else could be. And you know, my wife and I take turns bringing each other coffee in the morning. I'm winning. And so, you know, 4 o'clock comes and she's got to get up, and so I'll make coffee or whatever. And we like to be good to people we love. Don't you understand how good God likes to be to you and I?
Amen.
Amen. Now, look at the verse, and let's just see if we can't soak this together here in about 10 minutes. He says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I'm going to go back to the first of the verse, which is already in the middle of a sentence. Not true. It is a sentence all by itself, which is unusual for Paul. He normally writes a paragraph at a time, but he says, despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? Not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I honestly haven't got time to develop that entire thought, so I'm just going to pick some words here, and we'll try to get some things together. And you got to understand that word repentance. Here's the thought. Repentance is not just a change of thought. It's not just changing my mind. It is a change of mind that results in some kind of a change of action. It produces something. I have three illustrations here. Don't turn to these. These are biblical. These are some of the very first times the word repent is used. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6, it repented the Lord that he had made man. And what did he do? He destroyed the world with a flood. There was an action that was motivated by that change. I wish I hadn't done that, but then he does something about it. Is that simple enough, I hope? Exodus 13, 17. I love this. If you've never studied this, it's pretty exciting. Remember when Israel came out of Egypt and God, if you look at the map, there was a direct route up on the northern, up near the Mediterranean Sea, where Israel could have just gone right straight across and gone into Israel. It was just a little short hop. Wouldn't have had to go across the Red Sea. They could have got across dry ground. They could have gotten to Israel really quick. Do you know why God didn't take them that way? Because the Philistines were there, and those guys are ornery. And God says, and you can look at it later in the sick, Exodus 13 and verse 17. I'm going to paraphrase it, but Exodus 13, 17, God says, if I had taken them that way, it would have repented them that they had to go to war with the Philistines so quickly, because they were already beat up from being in Egypt and beat up from coming out of Egypt so quickly and so on. If I had taken them that hard way, he says, it would have repented them and they'd have gone back to Egypt. God knew not to take them that way. He said, why'd they have to go across the Red Sea? That seems like the long way to go. Sometimes the long way to go is the only way to go. Amen. Sometimes God knows the way to go to take us and we just didn't realize it. But the point here is with repentance, he says if they'd have gone that way, when they started to have to fight the Philistines, they'd have changed their minds and they'd have gone back to Egypt. They would have repented of leaving Egypt. There's one more. You know this one. In 1 Samuel 15:11, the Lord said, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king. And what did God do? He replaced Saul with David. Each time in the Bible you see the word repentance in the Old Testament, which is a great place to find out what words mean, it is something where God or somebody said, I wished I hadn't done that, and then they go and they change and they do something different. Now, let's just talk about two things. First of all, I'm not particularly thinking about lost people tonight. I'm thinking about saved people. And I'm thinking about how we act, how we behave, how we live towards God. The goodness of God, let me read the verse, in verse 4 of Romans 2, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Now, at the beginning of that verse, he talks about forbearance, and he talks about goodness, and he talks about long-suffering. The riches of his goodness with forbearance and long-suffering. Let's just start out with just a minute and talk about the riches of his goodness. Think of how good God is. What's the greatest thing God ever did for you? He saved your soul. We take that for granted, don't we? I'm sorry. I have to work at it. I just know I'm saved. And I stop thinking about what I was saved from and how I was saved and the fact that I couldn't have saved myself. I mean, you think about it. If God had not saved you, you would have gone to hell. And you could have tried everything you could try. You couldn't do a thing about it. You were on your way to hell. The only way you could escape hell is if God saved you. You were completely at his mercy in that regard. And aren't you glad God is not willing any should perish? Some people have got the wrong picture of God, and they think he makes some people go to hell. No, God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. And he provided salvation for all of us. But he provided salvation for me. And when I start defining that, what I'm not going to have to endure, I can't even imagine what hell is going to be like. It's eternal. It is a lake of fire. The rich man in Luke, when Lazarus and the rich man died, he hadn't been there but a few moments, and he was already desperate for someone to just moisten their finger and touch his tongue. And he's still there today. We had a really good message from a guest speaker a few months back about hell and all the horrors of hell. And folks, we'd have gone there. And we deserve to go there. And there's nothing we could have done to keep ourselves from going there. And look what it cost God to keep us from going there. He had to send his son to die for our sins. And don't underestimate the agony that Jesus experienced or the fact that God turned his back on his only begotten Son so that you and I could be saved. And if God never did anything else for us, if we lived a life that was nothing but persecution and suffering, and we had nothing in this world, and it was a hard world to live in, a terribly hard world to live in, and we were hungry and all the rest, and cold and sick and all the rest, to even if you had to go through all that, being saved is still the greatest thing ever. But then, out on top of our salvation, look how good God is to us. And by the way, you don't have to be filthy rich to be happy, do you?
That's right, amen.
You just have to have the things that you need. And don't we? My wife and I we finished praying a while ago, and I said, I'm hungry. And, you know, I could go home and eat something out of the refrigerator, or I can do one of my favorite things, which is stop and get a pizza on the way home. And Little Caesars is supported by the Schaefer family quite heavily. And but it's not a question of can I afford to eat tonight. Why? Because of God. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, and by the way, I have a home to go to. Oh, and by the way, I have a car to get there in.
Amen.
And oh, by the way, when I get there, the lights will be on. Because I have utilities that God provided for me. And could we just list one thing after another, after another, after another that God's done for us? And he's been doing that for me for over 6 decades. And he still does. He's still faithful. We can think about our church. I really got a chuckle today when the fellow asked me, have you stopped having church? And I think it's a funny answer, but I said, no, we're not big enough to stop. We're just a few people, so we can meet. But amen, I like having church. I like coming here and seeing you folks and praying with you folks. And you encourage me, and I encourage you, I hope. And it's great to be here. And I'm not worried about it in the least. I don't think we're offending the government. I think we're pleasing our God. And I think our prayers will make a difference tonight. Amen? We prayed for our nation. Wow, God is good. Our families. Don't tell him I said this. He doesn't like it when I talk about him. But having my son with us for this past couple of months, and it's been a real blessing. He had to work from home today. And so I was gone. I had to leave at 4 o'clock this morning. But when I got back, I sat down and drank a cup of coffee and talked to him. That's a blessing. So many things God gives us. And he's going to do good things for you tomorrow, isn't he? He's going to provide for you tomorrow, meet your needs tomorrow, and answer your prayers tomorrow and comfort you tomorrow. He's good. How can we do things that would offend someone that good to us? It's just like the fellow that would offer to move you in and give you the food and take care of your house and just shower you with blessings. I don't want to offend God because of how good he's been to me, is what I'm trying to say. Amen? And it's my flesh doesn't feel that way, but my spirit does. And praise the Lord, the spirit can control the flesh most of the time. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't God good to us?
That's right.
And so because of that, it makes us want to be good to him. And I don't fault people. For example, I think as a church member, we should be faithful to attend church. But I don't do that just so people can see me. And some people do, sadly. Some people are there so they can say, I'm there all the time. No, I come to church because I know God wants me to be in church.
That's right.
And how can I offend my God after how good he's been to me? I serve the Lord because the Bible says that he loves us, and you sang the song, I love him because he first loved me. And I think there's even a Bible verse that says that. I love the Lord, he loves me, and so I serve him. We went on visitation last night, and I do that because I know it's the right thing to do. He expects it. And after all he's done for me, how can I not serve him?
Amen.
Amen? So you see this verse here. It's this little last little phrase is so powerful. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Our salvation, our blessings, our forgiveness, our safety, just all the general things he does. The nation we live in, I'm glad we are born and lived in this nation.
Amen.
I've been around, I've been all over the world and been to Asia, been to Thailand, been to Europe, never been to England, been to Egypt. Wow, that's a rough one. I'm glad we were born in this nation. There's some other nations that are nice, and I'm glad that, you know, that they are what they are, but I sure like living in this one.
Amen.
We have things nobody else has. And God let us live here. God let us live in our situation that we have. We have a Bible in our language. How many folks don't have that? We have a church. A lot of folks don't have a church. There's so many things. God's so good to us. Then is forbearance, of course. The word means the exercise of patience or indulging those who injure us. In other words, even when we are sinning against God, He puts up with us. He long-suffering means He bears the injuries that we cause to Him or the provocation that we do towards Him. He's patient. He's not easily provoked. God puts up with our sin, our selfishness, our weakness, our failures, and He still loves us and He's still good to us. The goodness of God leads me to be faithful to God. It should lead all of us to, amen? It leads me to think twice when I'm tempted to sin. It leads me to be serving God when the opportunity arises. And to trust Him. And to spend time with Him and want to walk with Him. And want to please Him. And folks, the interesting thing is, even when we don't do that, He's still good to us. It's just that we don't see it. We don't think about it.